Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we'll go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
This is a very sensitive subject.
You know what that music means, folks? It's going to be a bad, bad show today. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, the only two members of Patriots Football Weekly who are in the house today. What the hell did Fred do to this microphone? This thing's about to fall off, Paul. Hold on a sec.
Wow.
I mean, got to try to restore it.
You just broke Fred's record for complaining 35 seconds.
You have to do what?
Wow. Screw it back in. Anyway, Andy is on his regular summertime Tuesday, Friday, I'm off routine.
Yeah.
And Fred Kirsch.
Fred's away on business.
Well, not really, Paul. Fred is actually in Los Angeles, as you know. And when he was leaving yesterday, we were asking him what the deal was, why he had to go to Los Angeles. And I didn't really have the heart to tell him this, but he said he went out there because he was trying to scalp tickets for the NBA Finals.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes.
That's perfect.
Day.
And so I let him go because I didn't want to tell him. I didn't have the heart to tell him that they're back in Boston for the next three games. But for the next 2 hours, you have me and Paul. Doc's behind the glass. Tacoma is on a random Tuesday off, too. So
yep.
Who'll be getting Paul's lunch?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed about that turn of events.
I brought, Doc brought, so Paul just had to buy for himself today. Paul from Everett.
That's right.
Bought today's lunch.
Paul from Everett's on a little bit of a...
For Paul and Everett, yeah.
Paul and Everett's on a little bit of a roll. Listeners have certainly taken their summer vacation.
Most valuable lunch buyer.
Which is fine, because...
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, they've certainly done their part for us over the past couple of years, so...
Although, just in a quick scan of the emails, there are at least one or two... people who have said that they're scheduling themselves to buy lunch for us in the future.
Nice, but certainly not required. And
we'll get to those emails.
Eric, I also want to bring up, just by reading some of the SPFWs and some of the calls and emails that we've been getting lately
mm-hmm.
for different venues, I think our listenership is growing
yeah,
by leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
And there's more people that have been listening for the past month, just caught the podcast for the first time.
Since the season ended or whatever. Yeah.
This offseason, since the draft. We're starting to get more and more emails, and that's great.
And
to,
certainly our because, download numbers are showing that.
Well, yeah, the ratings book that came out last week was very encouraging, very exciting for all of us at PFW in Progress. But I think it's great that we're getting new people to take part in the show because I think we have a very loyal fan base.
Oh, and the best.
That's been with us for a long time now, going on 10 years. But you also need to have new
fresh blood, right?
And we get that new blood, so that's very exciting.
And not just new listeners, Paul, but new listeners who contribute to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And the way to do that, in case you don't know, you can email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio, all one word, @patriots.com, or you can pick up the phone wherever you are. You can use Magic Jack or Skype or just, you know, your cell phone, wherever the hell you happen to be, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Give us a call.
I don't like the way you just say that and you don't look at the number on the wall.
The way Fred does?
Yeah.
Who's done it for the last 10 years and still doesn't remember the number? Right. I'll do it. You want me to do it again for you and look
sure.
at the wall? Okay. 508-543-7482. I'll even kind of say it like Fred in his silly Rentham voice. Fred's on business with the worst webmaster in the league, Chris Ferreira, on league business, actually. I think there's some webgeek, alt.geek.com. Thanks,
nice.
Doc. Some web conference for the NFL. That's all your lunch?
Well, the other is...
Oh, cookies.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
took
care of you.
There's a giant pizza box that has cookies in it and a smaller one that has Paul's pizza in it.
The sauce.
Or Calzone, what'd you get, Paul?
Oh.
What'd you get? What's the matter?
We have issues with the sauce.
Oh. Paul spilled his sauce already, and it's only 10 past noon. That was a very Andy-like comment I just made right there. I should have gone,
milky sauce. What do we have in the way of news before we get into the tomfoolery?
Yeah, but the tomfoolery. Also, just a quick thing about those new listeners you were talking about. Fred has an unofficial rule on this show that he doesn't read emails that came in before or after the show. He only reads live emails. We're not going to do that here. We're not going to discriminate. A lot of great emails come in before and after the show.
I thought he just had a rule about the first 15 minutes. I didn't know he had a rule.
I think
about
it's a general rule about before and after.
That's dumb. I wish I had been aware of that because I would have made fun of him for that.
I think
because a lot of people can't listen live.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he's softened his rule a little bit of late, but
he has a little bit. Usually when it's getting slow and he starts pulling from email, but he has lately been reading emails from two shows prior.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to as many emails as you can because Paul.
Yes, but that's totally accidental.
But Paul, we have.
What do we have?
A lot of emails.
We got
today.
A lot of emails.
And we kind of have a lot to talk about too.
Do we?
Let me just run quick rundown of the top news items. Last Friday and over the weekend, the media outlets ran with the latest on Tom Brady's contract situation, the latest being that Tom Brady actually spoke to the media at a charitable event that he was holding in the area here. And Brady made a few comments, nothing, you know, extensive, but he did make some comments, and we'll talk about those in a minute or so. Bill Polian actually chiming in about the whole Peyton Manning Tom Brady contract connection. That was a recent story from today, so we'll get into that a little bit. We had OTAs yesterday. Wes Welker actually talked to the media this time. Same routine pretty much as last week where he came out, stretched, ran through the individual and position drills with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, and then after about 30 minutes went back to the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse for the remainder of practice, worked with the medical staff, presumably, and did other things to focus on his rehab. But when he came back out last week, he just declined to talk and went straight into the locker room. This time he came over and spent about 4.5 minutes talking with the media and answering some questions. So we'll get into that. We'll get into all our OTA observations. We have another OTA coming up on Thursday, so I think we should mention now that for those of you who love this show and want to listen and have appointment listening times, noon to 2 is normally when we're on the air during our lunch hour, but because the OTA crosses over into the start of the show and actually our obligations pretty much end around 1 o'clock during these OTAs, we're going to come right from off the field, come right in the studio, start the show at about 1 o'clock and go for the full 2 hours till 3 o'clock because we didn't want to shortchange you, honestly. Right, Paul? We didn't want Fred to be tap dancing solo for an hour.
We also didn't want to shortchange the OTA.
We don't want
even
to
though we
the
have
OTA
a mini camp
either.
Coming right up next week.
Yep.
We wanted to make sure we gave you our impressions of what goes on.
And our immediate impressions. Yeah. Immediately. We're going to come right off the field.
It'll be like
right
a
studio.
It'll be like an audio blog.
Right. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
What it'll be.
Right. So we've got a lot to talk about from OTA. Some of the other players other than Welker talked. Your guy, who we'll get on Thursday, Pat Chung, who now, you're going to love this, Paul. Apparently, remember last year we drafted him, it was Patrick Chung, and then after a couple of days he was like, I'd like to be called Pat Chung. Remember that whole thing? So people started calling him Pat Chung.
I thought it was the opposite, but okay. Go ahead.
Now he wants to be called Patrick Chung.
That's
again.
What I thought he wanted to be called last year.
No, he wanted to be called Pat last year and made everybody change it. Now he wants to change it back and wants to be called Patrick again.
Okay.
But he'll still,
I've been calling him Patrick
he'll
all
get
along.
You on Thursday.
I'll start calling him Pat now.
Okay, that's exactly right. That's what we thought you would. A lot from OTAs. There's a little follow-up from last week on the whole tweeting during practice controversy. Some fan, very funny fan, might even be one who listens to this show, not sure exactly, has started a fake Albert Breer Twitter account and has been fake tweeting different reports, things, observations, pseudo news, that kind of thing. No, I don't think it was two gender. I don't think he has the mental capacity to do
listen,
that. But
the fake stuff and all this nonsense, it's part of the reason why I've sort of been resistant to the whole social media is that I don't think a lot of it is trustworthy.
Oh, but it's called
taken seriously.
It's actually called
fake
Albert
Breer.
Breer.
No, I know they're not. I know they're not trying to pretend. Right. No one in this particular case, no one's trying to deceive anybody.
Right.
It is funny. I think it's funny. But you know, we hammered that whole situation hard last week on Thursday. I think we all stated our opinions on it. We think there was a blatant disregard for the rules here. By the Globe and by Albert. He was here yesterday, right? We had no issues.
No issues.
Out at OTAs.
Nope.
So we'll move past that and take it as a one-time thing, and hopefully we can all adhere to the rules and move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's dive right into the Brady stuff if you want. Okay, Paul?
Sure.
As we said, he talked about Friday night, and it was all the coverage on Saturday, about his contract, and he said, here's the full extent. I don't want to talk about it a whole lot. It sounds like an answer I would have given. There's nothing anybody can solve other than the team and myself. Well, that's, pretty, thanks for stating the obvious there, number 12. We're in a situation where there's a lot of guys in my situation, so really I just want to focus on what's coming up this week. I'm just excited about being back on the field with the guys. Things happen that are somewhat out of your control. You've just got to go with the flow. Then he was asked, follow-up question, is he disappointed about the so-called perceived lack of progress in the negotiations between himself and the team?
Hell no.
His response, well, it wasn't really hell no. It was, I haven't really thought about it a lot. It's just part of the process. I love being out on the field with the guys and playing. That's really where my head's at. Are you buying it, Paul?
To an extent. I don't think it's something that has consumed him. But I also don't think he is overly thrilled with the pace that this has gone so far. According to the report that we talked about last week, the Michael Silver report.
On Yahoo Sports.
Right. There has been very little, if any, talk between the parties. And I would bet that Tom is not overly thrilled with that. That's what I'm talking about, the pace of the negotiations. There really has been no substantial movement there. But I do take Tom at face value. I don't think this is consuming him in any way. If there's a growing disconnect, I don't think it's necessarily something that is affecting his preparation. In other words, I don't think that's why, Eric, he's decided to spend so much time in the West Coast.
He would have done that anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that he's saying, well, I'll show them. They don't want to talk to me. I'll show up only when I have to. I don't think that is playing into it at all. I think Tom is a very dedicated prepared leader on this team. He has been since the day he arrived. I don't worry about Tom Brady and his ability to prepare for a season. I do, however, worry about finances, because sometimes those are out of someone's control. And I have a slight bit of concern, and I've had this right from the start. Andy has made fun of me about it. I have the slightest bit of concern that he does not return next year.
Maybe you should shut
up. It's a very small percentage, maybe less than 1%. But I don't think it is an absolute certainty that he's back, whereas most people do.
I think I agree with you on that. I think
0.0.
I think it's greater than 0.0. I would put it at less than probably 5%. But I agree. You have to consider that it's a possibility. Much as you don't want to think about it, it is a possibility. A very unlikely one in my estimation. But I think that's what you're saying, too. You're just stating the obvious, but, you're right. A lot of people do think it's a slam dunk that he's going to be back, and I think you should just wait and see. Toward that end, I mentioned Bill Polian earlier, Bill Polian, as we like to say around here. He was quoted in an AP story today about, you know, being asked about Peyton Manning's contract. He's also going to be a free agent at the end of this year. As you know, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, and was asked about the situation with them and how the two contract deals are connected in some way, because it's thought that one is waiting for the other to sign so that the bar can be set and they can sort of gauge what the market is for quarterbacks in their stratosphere. Polian, quote, "There's probably some likelihood that a Manning deal gets done before the end of this season. But there's a lot of work that we can do between then and now to lay groundwork and cover areas that we need to cover and talk about various different structures. We'll do that. As for the comparison with Brady and his situation, Polian expressed a little bit of doubt because of, you know, the labor negotiations between the players' union and the league and how there could be a lockout next year, and everybody is sort of, you know, walking on eggshells because they don't really know what's going to happen, what the rules are going to be. So he says, everybody's in the same boat. Players are in the same boat. Clubs are in the same boat. None of us know what's involved and what the system will be like going forward. When that's resolved, those other situations, meaning Brady's and others like him, will resolve themselves.
We should also point out, Eric,
so he's kind of saying that when the labor deal gets done, then you'll be seeing guys like Brady get their contracts.
Yeah, and now I don't know if that means that he's not overly concerned with it and he's going to get Brady Manning done, and the Colts, he and Jim Irsay are going to get their business taken care of, and maybe what he knows about the situation, the Patriots are more mindful of the labor uncertainty and they're going to wait. I don't know. I don't know if Bill just kind of said that, you know, just as one of those things to say, or if there was some real meaning to every word. I don't know. Sometimes you never know. I know he was reached at a Jim Kelly's golf tournament, I believe. So may not have been the most formal of settings.
It doesn't say in this particular.
Yeah, one of the pieces that I read said that he was at, I think it was in Batavia, New York, or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
I believe you are. Batavia.
So I'm not sure it was necessarily, a sit-down press conference where he is, fully prepared to answer every question he gets. It may have been more of an informal setting, and he just kind of answered questions the best he could. But I do think it's interesting, yet again, more importantly, how often PFW establishes the agenda.
Ahead of the curve.
We established the agenda. We talked
clearly
at length last week when we were talking about Brady, about all the talk at the Super Bowl about Manning and how there had been very little talk about Manning since. And all of a sudden, Manning's contract the very next day became a little bit of an issue nationwide. And now it's, we even have to the point where Bill Polian is talking about getting Manning done now and also, as you pointed out, opining about Brady.
Right. That could be the new slogan for PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress. When we talk, everyone else copies.
That's kind of true. It's even when we write, sometimes people copy.
All the time.
That happens all the time. We see stories that we've done on the blog or in the paper, and then all of a sudden they become, and these other people get more credit for.
PFW in Progress, fostering plagiarism around the country.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so we've got to Brady. Now let's quickly get to some of Welker's comments. He spoke yesterday right after practice, as we said earlier. The big question, and Paul, I don't know if you've seen or read any of the quotes thus far this morning from today's coverage, but Welker was clearly either prepped for this ahead of time or was sticking to his own script, because he pretty much in every question repeated the exact same three or four phrases every
time.
I think
that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
I don't remember him saying that yesterday, but he kept reiterating that he wasn't surprised at all that he was able to get back to the practice field this quickly. Let me just read a couple of his quotes. I don't know what my expectations were. I've been trying to push it since day one. That's one of those phrases. And get back as early as possible. That's another one. Just getting out there with my teammates. That's the third one. And trying to get as many reps as I can to get a little muscle memory. I feel pretty good out there. Still need to get back in the groove of playing ball and things like that. But overall, it's feeling all right now.
A nice little player.
He is a nice little player. And then I followed up a little bit later on asking him about whether he thinks he's doing too much too soon or if there's any concern in the back of his mind about maybe, you know, aggravating the injury in this whole rehab process by trying to do too much.
Who are you?
No. I don't look at it as overdoing it. I look at it as pushing myself. There's that phrase again. I always feel confident, so I wouldn't be out there if I didn't feel confident. I know that my coaches and teammates have confidence in me just like I do in them. We're just going to move along as quickly as we can. Andy asked him about wearing the brace and how that's been for him, whether it's uncomfortable, whether it's limiting him at all.
Did Andy start the question with, you know, when I tore my ACL?
No, but it was implied. You could read between the lines. Wes's response, I don't know, as far as whether he's going to continue wearing it when he gets back to game conditions. I don't know. I'm just going along with it. It feels fine as of right now. We'll just keep rolling with it till we don't need it anymore. The medical staff stay on top of me, and we make sure we're doing all the right things. And he expressed surprise. The only thing that really surprised him, he said, was the fact that such a big deal was made of his early return last week in the media and, you know, through, you know, fan message boards and the like, which I thought was kind of funny that he didn't expect that to be a big deal when, you know, he knows how important a player he is to this team and this region and, you know, what a high-profile athlete he is. Of course it's going to make news.
Yeah, that, I mean, I saw that quote and I thought there was another along the lines of the things that, you know, like you said, his little pat responses that he was sort of prepared to deal with. I don't think he wanted to sort of perpetuate that story of, wow, this is really remarkable. I think they want to downplay that a little bit. I got to think, the way he, you know, I think it's semantics. You say, you know, you.
Why do you think they want to, though? That's an interesting point you bring up. Why do you think they want to downplay it?
Well, I don't think they necessarily think it's a big deal. I don't think they want to put it so. Listen, I think that you could make an argument that if something were to go wrong, they open themselves up for criticism.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
But what I'm saying is, to them, they're just kind of following the course of action, and when a guy is ready, he's ready. It's not really a surprise. In other words, if he wasn't ready to get out there until training camp, I don't think they would be surprised. If he was ready to go a month earlier, I don't think they would be surprised. I think they just look at injuries and they say, here's the injury. This is what we do to deal with it. We don't set timetables here. We just work to get back. And whenever that is, it is. And we go from there. And I think that's kind of the way Bill tries to treat these kinds of things. They want to continue that consistency. And that's the one thing about Belichick you can always say.
He is extremely consistent. That's true. But I just think it's...
Listen, I'm not downplaying the story. I think it's great. I think it's remarkable.
And I think
I
it's...
I do.
It's,
unlike Fred, who sort of yawns and says, you know, wake me when you see if he's when he's active in a game.
I just think... it's human nature when you see a guy go down in a heap like Welker did in Houston, and you have history on your side. Typically, you don't see a guy come back from that kind of injury.
See, I just looked at it
for several months, if not a year.
To me, the question is going to be, what is Wes Welker when he returns? When he's on the game field, when does he take contact in a game?
A nice little player.
And when he does, is he the same guy that caught 120 mm-hmm. passes the last mm-hmm. several years? Tom Brady was out on the field for OTAs at a very similar point. And don't forget, even though Brady had his surgery in October, he had the complications.
Right, so he was a little behind.
He was really set back, so it wasn't that far off. I mean, he was still longer in recovery than Welker was.
Sure.
So I'm not downplaying Welker. Again, sure. I'm very, very much excited about the fact that Welker is already out there. And I was not expecting
the Murphy's Law thing happened to Brady. Anything that could go wrong did.
So that
the opposite's happening with Welker.
Even though it was October as opposed to February, I think it was a lot closer with that.
Right.
Why don't you get a quick reset? I think we're looking to get a quick 20 and a reset here, so I can continue my calzone.
So you can finish your calzone and I can start mine.
Right.
Over here. Okay. We'll have plenty of emails, a lot of emails, and your phone calls right after this.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission statement right there.
Oh. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That's our Paul Perillo right there. Always stealing.
What the hell are you guys?
Always stealing other
now?
People's thoughts and comments. That's why he's not on the big show anymore, isn't it? Is that one of the reasons?
Could be.
Could be.
You're making my point.
I did, however, make my return to TV, local TV last night.
Yes, and we're going to get to an email about that in a second, actually.
After a bit of a sabbatical.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I just, speaking of the horn, I just answered a question. We had an Ask PFW. I'm working on Ask PFW, the mailbag. It's Tuesday, and everybody knows that.
Yes, Ask
in PFW land, that's Ask PFW day.
Later this afternoon, Paul will post that.
So one of the questions was, what loss hurt you the most? What was the most bitter defeat? Was it the Super Bowl against the Giants or this past regular season, the 4th-and-2 Indianapolis game?
Oh, the Super Bowl.
Right. Now, obviously, and the guy who asked the question said, for me, it was the Super Bowl and blah, blah, blah. But he was just wondering if maybe that loss had kind of softened him up for the Indianapolis game. So anyway, I was going through all the things about the Super Bowl. You know, the 19-0 that you lost, the way you lost the game in the final seconds with such a fluke catch by Tyree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chance for immortality, the chance for the fourth title.
Right.
You know, the Brady Belichick era.
Right.
And I said, and most importantly, I was looking forward to the opportunities to be on ESPN Classic and NFL Network.
25, 30 years.
And talk about, right, you know, the my part and mm-hmm. the run to perfection.
Yes.
As always, it's all about me.
It's all about Paul. Right. About Paul, though, but before we get to that part of it, we got a couple of emailers who I guess are either pretty new to the show or just longtime listeners but are sick of our act because
already
there's a theme here, and it goes like this, Paul. Chris from, let's see, where is he from? Chris from URI says, one person talk at a time.
Well, that's an old email.
Right. This is the first time I've ever listened to the Patriots.com radio, and I'm being annoyed. I'm beyond annoyed. Can you guys let the other guy actually complete his statement or question before you start trying to cut him off? This isn't good radio, guys. Please. And from...
Sorry, Marconi.
And we got another one, Colton from Doesn't Say Where. The subject covered it, but just in case, I listen online. Stop talking all at once is his subject line. I listen online, and when everyone talks at the same time, you cannot understand what you guys are saying. There has to be a system whereby you can take turns talking. Good shows I like to listen and keep up with the Pats, but it helps to hear what is being said. I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. Well, you only have me and Paul today, so it's going to be tough for either one of us to talk over each other unless we get into one of those Paul and Fred types bats that are famous for the two of them just yelling at each other that ends with, right, right, right. But I don't see that happening.
Usually it ends with
Fred. I don't foresee that happening.
You don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
But as far as you're being back on television, Paul, Nano Steele, you know, Jake Steele's cousin.
Jake. Yeah.
Yeah. His subject line, Paul's hair and the new girl. Since Friday night Celtics game was such a debacle, I started flipping channels and came across Old Man Perillo talking with Felger on a local sports talk show.
Give me a break!
Yeah, exactly. First, judging by the kick-ass time slot late Friday night during the Celtics game, it's clear that Paul is at the top of the Sports Tonight Rolodex. Second, this was the first time I've seen Paul since he cut his hair after the season, and all I can say is, yikes. There were so many long spikes.
You really went bald there, didn't you?
There were so many long spikes of dark hair separated by wide gulfs of baldness that he looked like Pinhead from the Hellraiser movies. It definitely needs to be trimmed down more. Also, would it be so hard for Paul to wear a suit or somewhat more formal clothes when he's on TV? The khaki pants and blue blazer with gold buttons ensemble is appropriate if you are a rich yacht owner, or if you're 12 and your mom still dresses you, but probably not the best choice for a TV show where everyone else dresses up.
That's incorrect. There are no dressing, there's no real dressing up on that show. There's dress shirt and jacket. That's what people wear. There's no ties on that show. You might be confusing it with the Comcast Sportsnet Central show, which they do wear the ties, but
yeah.
Rob Bradford, who was also on that night with me, was dressed mm-hmm. very, matter of fact, probably not even dressed as well as I mm-hmm. was. And Felger, yeah, they have jackets, and sometimes they have their suits without ties, but they don't wear ties.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of the rule on
sometimes
that show.
Sometimes they do the so Fred maybe, Kirsch chest hair thing, too.
Oh, that's
Felger
hideous.
Does it all the time,
that's
which
hideous.
I think is very unprofessional.
Button up. But so, Paul, maybe if you wore a tie, you would stand out a little bit more. Maybe people would take your comments.
No, you would be out of place because you want to be dressed the way everybody else is dressed in a situation like that. You don't want to stand out either way. Now, I'll agree with you. It's better to stand out as
in
being
positive,
overdressed
as
than
opposed
underdressed.
To underdressed. Right. So,
as my football coach in high school who knew nothing about football
used why? To Why? Because say, he kept you on the bench?
He didn't keep me on the bench. as he used to say,
you're never
out of place in a jacket and tie.
That's true.
You're never out of place.
That's true. So why don't you
But
why
I disagree
you want
with
to
that in this
out?
Case because I would be out of place.
Maybe if you stood out for dressing up more, maybe you'd get
matter
more callbacks
fact, break,
to return as a guest.
Matter of fact, during the break, we had Matty No Socks was in here, who is a pretty prominent TV guy himself.
Right.
In charge of all of our video content here mm-hmm. on Patriots.com
today,
as well
all
as
access.
All access.
Right.
And one week, we were doing our PFW show in which we do wear ties, although Fred just decided to stop in the middle. So I had a tie on.
So he could open up the shirt and display his
chest
there.
That day because we were wearing ties for PFW, and I was also taping All Access that day. And they asked me to take the tie off for All Access. Mm-hmm. Why? Because no one wears a tie on All Access. So I'm just trying to stay consistent with what the TV guys tell me.
But if you wore a sweater a couple of years ago, you would have looked just like Lynch.
I was never really on with Lynch, though. So,
all right. Nano continues. Speaking of TV, I caught the episode of Patriots Today.
And my hair, by the way, can't get any shorter, Nano.
Yes, it can.
Eric can tell you.
Well, it can. You can go, you know.
I could shave it all off.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could get it any shorter.
Right, so you could get it shorter.
But I don't want to shave it all off.
All right. Don't get mad at me.
No, I'm just, I mean, you have commented about this off the air, and you've said many, many times.
Every time you get it cut, it looks shorter than the last time.
Right. So that's right. That's our running gag.
It really does.
So you realize it can't get any shorter.
Right. You do a one on the sides and a two on the top, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's what I do, too.
Yeah, and it shows. All right, Nano continues. Speaking of TV, I caught the episode of Patriots Today where the new lady co-host was introduced. Lindsay, with two Y's, is definitely the right level of attractiveness.
She's kind
of
hot, too.
Feel like maybe under the right circumstances you would have a chance with her, which was never the case with Christina. However, she needs to start listening to PFW since at one point she started talking about all the depth at wide receiver. That's depth in quotes. However, as Team PFW has correctly pointed out on numerous occasions, a group of unknowns doesn't equate to depth. I actually have to give B-Lo some credit, though. Chicken Little handled her statement smoothly, calling the wide receiver position, quote, one of the positions with a lot of intrigue, unquote. Finally, Eric, now's the time to make your move with Lindsay. Strike while she still hasn't settled into the new workplace. Don't wait until she gets a lay of the land.
That's a great point. Who's that?
This is Nano Steele, Jake's
Nano?
Cousin.
Yeah. Nano, you know what? You started off shaky and ripping my attire, but you really came back strong because that's a great point. You don't want to let her get settled. She's not from this area.
Yep.
So you don't want Lindsay to get...
We don't know where
you know,
she's from, but we'll ask her
you don't
maybe
want her to get
when
comfortable.
We see her again.
I believe she's from the Pittsburgh area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we'll try to investigate.
You could ask her in an hour.
Yeah.
See, we were teasing there, Doc.
Anyway, I think that if you allow her to get comfortable here, she's due to meet people. She's an attractive girl.
Certainly.
She's going to be out
yep.
there.
Right.
She's going to meet some guys.
A lot of
guys.
The players, I think, have already...
She's going to meet guys.
A lot of the
then,
players were given to the eye coming
and
off
Eric,
the field
sadly,
yesterday.
If she has options.
Right. Of course. Right.
You're not going to
sure.
be one of them.
Yep.
You're not going
yep.
to be one of them.
Plus, as Big Head would be so quick to point out, if she were to take a walk upstairs and step foot near the marketing department orgy, it's all over.
That's true.
Listen to Doc. He's talking about his boss right there.
Yeah. Well.
You got a lot of stones. Well, but you do have
not
a 25.
My boss, I was talking about my coworkers.
Yeah, I know, but there's an implied shot there. If you can't see it, then, well, that's your problem.
But, Nano, you also raise a good point about the time slot. It was so unattractive that I actually had forgotten about the game that night when they called. And I haven't been on in a while, as I've whined about incessantly.
I actually said to you when we were leaving
like,
in the parking lot.
And I said, I can't believe. As soon as I, like, the guy called me, he said, hey, any chance you could do the 10 o'clock tonight? And I said, yeah, I could do that. He goes, I know it's not the most attractive time slot, you know, going against the game. And I went, oh yeah, I can do it. I can do it. So no question that I was at the bottom of the Rolodex. But they actually were looking for me two nights prior to that to talk about OTAs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not available.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
So that's my fault. I could have gone on in a night where there was no game.
Right.
And I would have been fine.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about yesterday's OTA? I know you had some rehab that you were doing still on the Achilles heel, but
Yeah, we could talk about
any observations, comments. A little, just a little quick rundown.
Oh, my observations? I can't.
No, I'll give you. I'll give you a little quick rundown. The biggest news from yesterday's OTA: the list of absentee players grew significantly. Paul, there were, I believe, four was the max last week. It doubled this week to eight. Taylor Price still out because of the academic thing, as well as Ty Warren, who's working towards his degree at Texas A&M. Adding to the list, though, of people not there. Rookie Cade Weston, who was absent last week as well, still there for not there for some unknown reason. But more significantly, Lee Bodden, cornerback, not there. Don't know why. Safety Brandon McGowan. Logan Mankins, of course, with the contract situation, he's still playing hard to get. And Nick Kazier, who filled in for Mankins at left guard in a lot of the reps last week at the OTA, wasn't there this week. So Dan Connolly got a bulk of the reps at left guard. With your guy from last year, George Bussey, second-year guy out of Louisville, taking some reps as well at that position. You still had Matt Light at left, Vollmer at right as far as the tackle situation, and the center and guard, right guard positions were still the same. But and your boy Pat Chung, as you like to call him, Pat Chung, still wearing the red jersey. He kind of was asked about that yesterday and tried to give a little coy response saying he was wearing it because he liked the color, saying, oh, it's one of our colors, isn't it? I just like the color. So our friend Karen Garigian from the Herald.
He's so clever.
Shot back and said, well, do you expect to wear that color for very long? And then he kind of got a little serious because he realized, you know, we weren't going to take that from him. And he said, whenever they tell me to take it off, the medical staff and the coaches, that's when he'll take it off. So he's nursing some kind of injury. He wouldn't tip his hand as to what that might be, but it's not hindering him in any of the drills that we've seen in OTAs, which are, as we've said before, but it's worth reiterating, it's just helmets, practice jerseys, and shorts. There's no pads other than the helmet, so there's no hitting. He's free to move around and do whatever, but he's obviously recovering from something, or else they wouldn't put the red jersey on.
Yeah, and it is just, you know, and Eric just explained what we're dealing with out there on the practice field for OTAs. We get a lot of questions, and I can understand why, but a lot of questions to ask about an individual player and how he looked. And it's just such an
impossible question to answer
for anybody that's not a quarterback or a receiver.
Right.
And
the offense is definitely easier to gauge because...
But even then, I mean, it's basically just the quarterback and receiver because they throw and catch.
Right, and the running
and
game...
You can't really say,
because there's
well,
no full
geez, he looked like he was wide open.
Right.
Because there's covering, there's no level of physicality to getting open. There's nothing. It's just basically the act of throwing it accurately and catching it well. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the running backs are running against air.
Right.
You know, the linebackers aren't filling holes.
Right.
The defensive linemen aren't two-gapping. There's no bump and run coverage.
When the offense goes against the defense in like 7-on-7 or even full squad,
right.
they do a full squad simulation. The quarterback gets pressured, so in quotes, but they don't actually hit him. When they get to him, they just run by and they let the play continue and he throws a pass. So
it's very hard to evaluate.
Defense is really hard to evaluate.
I mean, it's hard to evaluate at training camp in general,
mm-hmm.
but it's very hard to evaluate anything at OTAs,
right.
Because there's no, I mean, at least in training camp, you can see that the cornerbacks are playing coverage the way they would in a game.
Right.
The receivers are having
and there's
to beat,
goal line situations.
Yeah, you have
to
beat press coverage. The linemen are blocking the point of attack. So
mm-hmm.
if someone gets a good pass rush, that's pretty much a real pass rush. Now he's not going to take the quarterback down.
Right. They'll blow the
but
whistle.
He's beating the tackle off the edge. If
right.
that happens, or the tackle is stuffing some sort of stunt.
Exactly.
As if it would happen in the game. So it's a little. There's a little bit more to evaluate when the pads are on. Right now, it's a really, really difficult thing to talk about an individual guy.
It's also, and this is going to seem a little silly, but it's actually true. For where we sit along that berm along right now it's along the sideline, but the way they have the field shaped for minicamp, there are two fields that, as we look at them, go horizontally. Whereas in training camp, they switch the paint lines around, and there are two fields that go vertically. So it's actually a little bit easier in training camp for us to get a gauge on both fields. Because
no matter what field they're on, you can see it a little bit more closely
right.
in training camp than you can now.
And in minicamp,
if they're on the far field now, it's away from you.
It's very, very far away. And the defense typically goes at that end of the field when they break up for right. positional stuff. So a lot of times you might see our analysis is kind of offensive heavy, but that's because we're seeing it better. I mean, we have binoculars, but it's still kind of tough to see the whole field.
I saw that Darrell Revis participated today in his OTAs.
Oh, I didn't see that.
With the Jets.
Really?
I just saw the start of a scroll up on ESPN. I'll have to keep an eye out
so
for
his
that.
Little hissy fits over, kind of, or is he?
I don't know. I mean, he might be very much still in full-fledged hissy fit.
Okay.
As you called it.
Nathan from SoCal writing in. Hey, guys, a couple questions for you. Do you think the offense will be better this year over last year? If so, how? Who's going to be the big contributor or contributors? Or next year's Joey Galloway? Consider Moss's attitude of it being his last year, Welker's injury, Edelman's improvement, and or injuries, additions of Holt, Gronkowski, and Price.
I think that they
That's
will
part
be,
one of his question.
I think the offense will probably be more efficient. I think that they – I think the offensive performance last year is sort of drastically undersold. I think they moved the ball extremely well all year long, and at times they scored. They didn't always score. They didn't always maximize it. I think the problems that came in with the Patriots offense last year were generally in the second half, and in particular, closing out games. I think they struggled in some areas.
Oh, clearly the second half, yeah.
But, you know, they struggled in areas to finish teams off, I thought. In other words, what I'm trying to say is...
That gets to Nathan's second point.
I think
question.
That the offense will be better this year because I think they'll be better situationally. But I don't think necessarily statistically. I don't think you'll look and see Brady. I mean, Brady threw for like...
4,000 yards.
But like 42 or 4,300, right?
It was significant.
I don't
more,
think
yeah.
Brady will throw for much more than that. I don't think he'll throw for much more than 30 touchdowns. I don't think that Randy Moss will have many more than 13 touchdowns. In other words, I think... They could be a lot better than last year, but statistically it won't necessarily show.
Right.
And I do think that some of what Nathan said about the individuals, the Edelmans, the Holtz, the Gronkowski and Hernandezes, those guys are going to be the reason why I think it's better. I think
Absolutely.
These guys, these pieces that they're adding, I think will be upgrades over Sam Aiken, obviously Joey Galloway,
yep.
and the guys they tried to force into roles that I don't think they were suited for. And, you know, the running backs, while all still veterans and still on in years, they can't have more injuries than they did last year at running back. I mean, they lost Taylor for virtually the whole thing. They lost Morris for half of it.
They were lucky in that it was staggered.
Right.
So that there was always at least two guys who were able to.
They always had Maroney healthy. He was healthy the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maroney might not be healthy the whole year. He wasn't really healthy his first couple of years.
Yep.
So and I think they will be better, but I don't think it will be drastically better in terms of statistics,
mm-hmm.
where I think they'll be better is situationally.
Which takes us to the second half of Nathan's email. Also, will the defense be better or worse than last year? I think Bill is trying to load up on corners so he can be even more aggressive on the blitz, because we don't have any one playmaker that can rush the passer. Interested to hear your perspective. My reaction
Why
is
don't you
if
answer that one?
My reaction is if he's loading up on corners to get to the quarterback, the defense is in trouble. The corner's main job is to cover receivers, not
no,
to get to the quarterback.
He means the coverage will allow them to blitz more.
Well,
not corner blitz.
Not corner blitzes.
No, he's talking.
I hope that's not what he means.
No, he's talking
because
about. If you have Darrell Revis, you can send eight guys,
well,
like Buddy Ryan did all year last year.
And the reason
I always call him Buddy. Rex Ryan did last year.
The reason I came to that initial conclusion was because we had an SPFW. It wasn't from Nathan, but we had an SPFW last week, I think, when I did it, about the same topic, saying, are we going to see more corner and safety blitzes to help out the pass rush? And if they start doing that, they're in trouble. I think.
Well, I thought that they did it a ton last year. I think it's a
well, they did it some, but
it's a mark of desperation to me.
Absolutely.
I remember the Saints game.
Yeah.
Sending corner blitzes and
right.
guys are 75 yards downfield.
The
know,
corner
the
and safety blitz are most effective when you don't use them very often because it's supposed to be an element of surprise. You're not expecting it. Like Merriweather, when he had those couple of hits at the end of 2008, I believe we were out on the West Coast.
Seattle.
I think it was Seattle and San Francisco. He came in on blitzes and got forced fumbles to seal up the end of those games.
Yeah, I think that the defense will be roughly the same. I don't see a marked improvement in the defense. I do like what they're doing. I just think it'll take some time. Mm-hmm. I think they're in a bit of a transition state. I think Bill is relying on the guys that he's been taking in the last couple of drafts. And I think his vision is, you know, year five. You know, Mayo's entering his third year now. I would say by year four, you have this core group of players that you would hope would be the nucleus of a very, very good defense. You know, the Mayos, the Guyton's, the Spikes,
yep.
McKenzie, you know, the young defensive lineman up front, Pryor, Brace. I'm not talking about any individual. I'm talking about this collective
as a group. Right.
You know, Pryor, Brace, Cunningham, Crable mm-hmm. outside, certainly McCourty, Butler, Merriweather. These guys, I think, out of these 8, 10, 12 names that I'm rattling off, Bill, I think, has a vision of 6 or 7 of these guys representing the core of his defense, say, in 2011. And you know what? I have a pretty good young athletic defense that I want to go to battle with. Will Height, Wheatley. I don't know who's going to emerge. I don't know who the best guys are.
Right.
But when it's all said and done, he better have hit on more than he missed on in order to have that defense. And I think, you know, I'm very encouraged. I think this particular draft, I think, was pretty good. I think last year's draft was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they have a nucleus of young guys to build around. Now, they have to make an improvement. They have to make the necessary adjustments.
Now, one of the things...
Chung, we should probably throw into that group as well.
One of the things Mayo was famous for saying in his first 2 years was, and you'll remember this, Paul, from having talked to him, that he was, whenever people would ask how comfortable he was or whether he was, you know, getting up to speed, his reaction would always be,
Mayo!
I'm still at the point where I'm thinking and not reacting and just being instinctive out on the field. Now going into year three, I think it's time that he is probably going to start playing more instinctive and less of a thinker.
And we heard a little of that from Chung yesterday. He mm-hmm. talked to the media, and he talked about that very thing. When you know what you're doing, you can play fast, I think was the way he put it.
Right, fast.
And he said, and now I know what I'm doing. So maybe you're going to get a big year two jump out of him.
Fast and hopefully physical, because I think one of the things that was lacking from this defense, as we saw at the end of so many games last year, was physicality, was an attitude, was a toughness, was a mentality that they are, you know, a rock of a defense like the 03, 04 teams were. And I think because there's so many young guys that have been contributing to this defense and having to think more than react and just be instinctive, that takes away a little bit from your physicality because you're really not sure if you should be going full speed at the guy because you want to make sure that you're getting your assignment right first. So it's definitely a gamble that you know, Bill's stocking up with all these younger guys, but it definitely has the potential to pay off big time. And, you know, once they get familiar with the system enough after year two, year three, however soon it takes for them, I think we could see a return to the physical 03, 04 type of defense, provided that, like you said, Bill hits with more of these guys than he does it.
Yeah, and listen, there's no guarantees here. And I don't want people to think that I'm saying, well, they drafted Chung in the second round and Will Height in the fourth round and Wheatley in the second round and Butler in the second round and McCourty in the first round. And that just means, well, all those guys are good. All those guys can play. Well, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of draft picks. You know, Mayo was a first-round pick. A lot of draft picks have been used in the last three drafts. Brace was a second-round pick. Pryor was a sixth-round pick. We'll find out mm-hmm. if they were used properly.
Right.
You know, it certainly looks like some of them have been.
Quick update on your Darrell Revis story that you brought up earlier. You did return to work on Tuesday, according to this report that Doc printed out for me from Pro Football Talk. Revis was reportedly, quote, unhappy and disappointed, unquote, with the Jets' first contract offer to him, according to the New York Daily News. Deal reportedly included no fully guaranteed money. Even though a deal isn't believed to be anywhere close to fruition, Revis's attendance on Tuesday is a sign he won't become a problem for the team. So that was one sort of little fire that it
that's unfortunate.
Looks like the Jets have maybe
that's
put out. But yeah, because the Patriots were hoping that they would have another situation like Mankins deal
sitting out. I had read some quotes from Revis about a month or so ago, and I didn't really anticipate him being a huge problem. I was sort of surprised to see him talking in terms of using those buzzwords that the fans hate, to, you know, the insult and disrespect, those kinds of words that, you know.
Right, when you're talking about these kinds of
none of us want to hear
figures.
Those words.
Right, yeah.
You know, when you're talking about how many zeros are on the end of your contract, none of us want to hear about disrespect and insults with multi-million-dollar contract offers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Mark, actually, a severely hungover Mark from Oxford, UK, writing in.
Good for you, Mark.
In a very wet UK.
It's
looks
noon
like,
somewhere.
Yes. Well, it's way past noon there. Looks like OTAs are going well, hearing the right sound bites coming from the team in interviews. What's everyone's opinion about the chances of the team coming together this year in terms of chemistry over last year? Back on the subject of being hungover, I found out Return of the Jedi is not a great hangover film to noisy bang bang. Oh, and on the subject of England versus USA World Cup coming up on Saturday, I believe, I just put 50 pounds on England taking you boys down on Saturday. You fellas can get 6-1 odds over here at the bookmakers if you fancy any of that action. Only 4 days to go before kickoff. Is the U.S. getting legit football, that's soccer, fever for this year's World Cup? Keep up the great work, guys.
I'll let you answer that.
Okay. Well, you want to start with the last question or the first
one? Was the U.S. getting legit World Cup fever?
Certainly at the other end of the hallway in our building they are.
Yeah, I'm not talking about people who work for soccer teams.
I haven't really noticed any World Cup fever on the side.
I haven't,
of,
but I don't
want
to comment because I think I offended somebody by saying that
offended
I didn't
who?
Really know anything about soccer. Didn't
I
really
would disagree.
Care much about it.
Didn't they listen to the disclaimer at the beginning of the show not to take offense and anything
yes,
you say?
I got an email saying that I should be embarrassed because...
Please do not be offended.
Right, don't.
Because I don't know anything about soccer.
Oh, I think we might still have that email. I can pull that up after.
And,
there's a little
I
bit of World Cup buzz.
I don't like soccer, and I don't necessarily criticize those who do, but it's just not my thing.
It seems like, though, from the emails we're getting from our UK listeners, that they're not high on their own team this year. They think that there's a chance that the U.S. can...
They're ripe to be beaten?
Yeah. I mean, they've got some injuries... But,
I love how Doc, after you talk about, well, it's certainly on the other side of the building. I'm like, and I said, I'm not talking necessarily about people who, you know, work
for soccer
teams.
Yeah.
And then he chimes in. Oh, I got a little bit of a buzz.
No,
a buzz. I could feel
a
buzz.
There was a buzz.
Yeah,
because
you work for a soccer team, and
no,
the people that you
it's
you,
actually more it's
the people
not,
you talk to are buzzing about
no,
it.
No, I don't talk.
Buzz,
to
buzz,
them.
Buzz.
You sit right in that line of offices. How can you not talk?
I mean,
to
you
them?
Sit directly next to the general manager of the team. Correct?
Yeah, but usually I'm going in there and taking a lifesaver off of his desk, saying hi, and going back to my office.
But that's where you're getting the buzz.
The buzz is
and
actually
between,
more...
And in between, he says that's going to cost you a World Cup tidbit.
No.
That lifesaver will be...
The buzz is actually more around 2018 and 2022 for the U.S. bid to actually host the World Cup here.
That's true, because Foxborough would be the Boston venue... For any World Cup, if America gets the World Cup back,
2018
or 2022.
It's 2018. What's this now? 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll probably still be here.
Right.
That's gonna be tough.
Oh, here meaning here working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parking traffic's gonna be tough getting
I can't
here.
I don't care.
Paul Perillo, editor
I just want to be out of here.
World Cup United.
All right. So, what about Mark's first question about
Mark
chemistry? This year's team versus last year's team.
You know, I'm going to fall on a Belichick cliche because...
I don't know how you rank them.
No,
I don't
well,
know how you evaluate
just,
them.
I think every team is different. And every team is... it's impossible to tell that kind of stuff until you actually see it manifest itself on the field, in the locker room, you know, on the road. I don't know how it's all going to come together. I don't know how these personalities... You know, there's a lot of personalities. We don't even know who the 53 players are going to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of personalities that come together... I can't imagine it being much worse than last year. I don't think that was a strong point last year. So I think it'll be improved based on the amount of effort I think that they've sort of put into it.
And we've certainly heard more than
But you can't force that.
Yeah, and you can't force the vocal leadership that a lot of these guys, the Will Forks of the world, the Dan Copens, even Mayos, saying that they want to be more vocal leaders. I don't think
right.
you can force that either. And I think that's part of the chemistry will depend on when these guys are vocal, if they're being taken seriously by the rest of their teammates, or if they're being looked at as like, he's just doing it just because he said he had to. And it's all going to come down to whether or not they're winning games or not. You know, if they're 7-2 and you know, Mayo and those guys are being vocal, everyone's going to be like, yeah, those guys are stepping up and being vocal. If they're 3-4 and these guys are being vocal, you might run the risk that they're going to say, ah, you know, there could be some division in the locker room. It all depends on what the final
scores
are. That's
what I'm saying. I think you need to see how it sort of unfolds on the field, how these guys mesh. You know, listen, I'll give you just a couple of examples. Gary Guyton is a guy who could be he could face as much competition to keep his job as anybody. You know, with the addition of
absolutely.
Spikes and McKenzie inside, he's the guy who started every game last year. You know, 100 tackles. What if he loses his job?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might be all right. He might be fine with that. He might be filling in as a solid role player.
He might look at it as, hey, I was an undrafted rookie free agent. I'm lucky to be here and have a job.
I personally think he's going to be an excellent role player. And I've been on record as saying that.
I think that's where he plays best.
What if he's upset about losing his job? And then let's take another step forward and say, who's his best friend on the team?
Gerard Mayo.
What if Gerard Mayo is upset that his best friend is no longer playing next to him and now someone else is?
As
possibly bad chemistry.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, Mayo, entering year three, might take all this leadership talk to heart and say, this is part of being a leader. I'm going to show the team that even though Gary Guyton's my guy and he's one of my closest friends,
yep.
I recognize that the best thing for the team is that Tyrone McKenzie or Brandon Spikes starts next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to embrace that. And I'm going to show everybody I don't have any resentment towards Spikes or McKenzie because they took my guy's job. I'm going to help my guy the best I can as a role player, and I'm going to help my guy's replacements the best I can as the starters. That is good chemistry. And all of a sudden, everybody looks at that and says, that's good leadership by Gerard Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how that's going to unfold?
Right.
And that's just a hypothetical example. You know, there's probably thousands of those that could manifest themselves all throughout the roster that you don't know about. Tom Brady could have this wonderful rapport with Torrey Holt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or
he could be Joey Galloway.
Could be Joey Galloway.
You know,
exactly.
I don't know. I mean, we just don't know.
And those are the kind of things that we'll be able to gauge more when we start conducting interviews in the locker room setting. Because right now we do them coming right off the field, and we'll be doing that in training camp as well. But we tend to get a feel for the chemistry more when we see them interacting on a day-to-day basis when they're not on the field.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to get that for you until, well, late August, probably, because once training camp
you get into preseason before we really get into the locker room.
So it'll be sort of late August before we can even start to tell. But even at that time, the 53 is not going to be set yet.
No.
So
still have the blue lockers in the middle.
Still have the big blue lockers in the middle to accommodate all the extra players. So it won't be till mid-late September, early October, when we start getting a feel for what the chemistry is going to be like. But an interesting question. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482, the phone number. Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly here with you today. Doc, you got the Sopranos music or Godfather or one of those ready to go? Good man. You know what that means. Anthony in Naples, Florida.
What's going on, guys?
Paisan, what do you got for us?
I thought I'd take a break from scooping up the oil down here to give you guys a call.
Are you guys severely affected in Naples?
No, it hasn't come our way yet. You know, from what they say, the current is supposed to bring it down, I guess, to the Keys and whatnot. But who knows? Things can change.
No tar balls or anything like that?
No, not yet.
No?
The hurricane passes through, though. That could be a little scary.
Yeah.
But it has to come from the west and bring it this way, so I don't know if that'll happen.
Well, on a serious note, we are thinking about all you guys down there because we know we got a lot of fans down in Florida.
Thank you for your service.
I was just kidding. I wasn't cleaning up any oil.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not, personally. I'm just saying. But we feel for you, you know? I mean, that region's been through a lot the last couple of years.
Eric's a sensitive artist type. He, you know.
Soft, sensitive, creative type. Thank you very much.
You know what? In all honesty, too, though, you know, fishing down here will probably take the hit because we had a cold winter and they killed off a lot of the fish and people were complaining about that. They actually pulled some seasons, I guess, a little early and didn't open some seasons for certain fish. Not that I'm much of a fisherman, which I should be since I'm Portuguese, but I'd rather just go to a sushi place and order it instead of going out and getting it. But you know, I'd like to say that, you know, I will support you guys. I'm saying as in you, Eric, and Paul. I noticed that the line was clear. Since,
phone lines,
like,
the phone lines were clear,
the phone,
yes.
The phone bank was open.
So what's up? You got a football question?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, to be honest with you, 6 years since seeing the Super Bowl victory, this is probably the most exciting preseason that I can't wait for it. You know, I cannot wait for August. I can't wait to see what's going to be, like, what the, you know, as in the chemistry that's going to be put out there, or as in the combination of linebackers. That's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of that so far in OTAs. A lot of combinations.
Just different combinations.
Different combinations.
The outside linebacker situation, I think, is
OLB
is fascinating.
At defensive back, at offensive, well, at left guard because of, you know, the Mankin situation. But,
yeah.
Yes, particularly on defense. Paul's right. The outside linebackers, even a little bit on the inside, although it's been predominantly Mayo, Guyton to start. And in the secondary, there's a lot of question. Up front, I think, for the most part, we've been seeing with three-man fronts, the regular rotation we've been seeing, I think, has been Will Fork with Brace and Wright getting a lot of action. But there's some movement in there too, because they've got a lot of bodies at D line right now.
How is Brace looking? Does it look a little bit like caught up? Maybe some technique or?
Again, I think they're giving him every opportunity.
Right,
it's I kind of equate Brace's situation right now to Chad Jackson's. Remember where he had the rough first year? He contributed a little bit, but he had some injuries and he was out for a bunch of games. But when he played, he made some plays. And then year two, you were saying, okay, he's going to make the jump. And then year three, you were like, okay, it's make or break. I think Brace is in a similar type of situation where they're giving him the opportunities. Like they force-fed Chad Jackson into the offense those second and third year that he was here to try to give him every opportunity to show what he can do. And I think they're doing the same thing with Brace, at least at this early
juncture.
And,
speaking on the offense, I don't know, this year there's a lot of different options and whatnot. And truthfully, my opinion on Torrey Holt, I think that's a different situation than Galloway. To me, like, Galloway's career, it always was, run straight up the field, try to get open, and just spread it out. He really didn't, he wasn't in that complex type of offense where you'd made adjustments. I feel
that's
like
true.
That's
a good
where
point.
His career went. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like Torrey Holt is going to be different. And especially, listen, I'm sure Joey Galloway is a nice guy. And actually, one of my customers, his daughter is actually married to one of his best friends. He was down here for the wedding and everything. So it's kind of like, I got a little info on him. But anyways, like I said, he's a nice guy. But you can just see, sometimes in interviews and whatnot, he just, I guess, didn't have that offensive mind like a Torrey Holt. Now, maybe I'm a little biased because I saw Torrey Holt in the NFL Network, just before he got picked up. I'm sitting there, I'm like, why is Torrey Holt still out there? Why is he still available? Why are the Patriots put a bid on him? Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought when I saw his finger, I was like, oh, does he need surgery or something? I'm like, I can't possibly catch anything with that thing.
He definitely needs surgery.
How can he not stare at that thing?
It's gross, isn't it? But
I guess Andy
was talking to him about it last week, and he moves the thing. He can knock it into place and out of place. And
that's the one he talked about a while back when he was talking to after one of his offseason.
But I guess
he showed it, I think he took it last week. He took it right out. He shows everybody how it works.
Gross.
What is he straightening it out for game day? What are you talking about?
No, well, I think the crooked part is the one that feels the best right now.
Yeah,
I think he said
he can. It pops out on him, and he can actually, as he's running a route, in other words, if he gets pressed at the line, and maybe, uses his hands to get off press coverage, sometimes the finger can pop out, and as he's running his route, he can fix it. He doesn't have to stop and concentrate or anything. He's just, it's second nature to him. But, I don't think it's an issue for him at all.
I think the reason he's out there, though, you asked.
I agree with you. I think that the my confidence level on him picking up the offense is pretty high based on the way he's talked.
I think people wonder
how much he has left. I think that's the reason why. I think the Patriots, for what the Patriots need, I think he probably has enough left for that. Some teams that maybe needed a little bit more out of a wide receiver at this stage. Maybe, you know, he wasn't as attractive. I think teams like, you know, Baltimore picking up Bolden, Cincinnati adding Antonio Bryant to Ocho Cinco, Brandon Marshall. A lot of teams needed a 1/2. Santonio Holmes to the Jets. The Patriots had Moss. I think they were looking for a guy to sort of fill the Welker slot role if Welker was not ready. And, you know, to make sure they weren't putting it all on Julian Edelman. And I think that Holt can play outside and he can play inside. I think he's the versatile kind of guy that the Patriots like. And I think he makes some sense. I'm not overly thrilled. I don't think he's going to set the world on fire. But I think that he will help. I think he absolutely will help.
I think so, too.
It's about options, you know?
Yeah, and he's going to help off the field, too, from what I've seen.
Yeah. You know what I like about it, though, is just you got to look at it this way. When he was with Jacksonville, David Garrard is not going to elevate him. You know, but when you have a Brady, and we've seen it before in the past with different options, you know, he elevates wide receivers. And I think that's where you're going to get a little bit more left in the tank from a Holt. You know, you don't need his blazing speed anymore on the outside.
Right.
You can make those adjustments on the inside.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Find that little soft spot. And that's what excites me about him. And an Edelman that has a year's experience. And, my God, I can't even believe, like, the footwork that Welker was able to produce. You know, that's what's really getting me excited, that he possibly could be there for the first game of the season.
I'll tell you, Anthony, Edelman looks so much more confident this year than he did a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you would expect that because he was coming in last year changing positions and having, you know, playing wide receiver and punt return the first time pretty much in his career. And you would expect that in year two he would be better. But not all players get it. I mean, like Chad Jackson, as we talked about before, he didn't get it in three straight years.
Nope.
No matter how much he immersed himself in the offense. Edelman looks a whole lot more confident in himself, in his role in the offense. I think last year did wonders for him, and it might have been a silver lining. I mean, it was only one game that he had, well, one or two. One in the beginning of the year, he filled in the was it the Jets game?
Yep.
He in week two, and then in the playoff game, he filled in for Welker. And but even though it was just those few rare situations, I think it did him a world of good, and it's showing to me out on the practice field this year.
Yeah, and just one more point, guys. I just want to kind of disagree with you, Paul. What you said earlier about the offense, as in, like, well, you said basically it wasn't that bad. It just they couldn't finish in the second half.
No, statistically, I said it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Statistically, it wasn't. They scored points and they moved the ball at will, but they didn't score it at the right time.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, that's a key word, at will. I feel like they really didn't like impose their will. You know what I mean, on anybody. And I feel
what does that mean?
Well, I just feel like when they said, "Hey, we're going to run the ball,"
they're not going to run. They're not going to do that this year, then either.
You don't think so?
No, they don't. They're not a running team. They're passing.
Know,
they
I
move
think,
the ball by throwing it.
I understand that part, and the only option they had to throw it was Welker and Moss, which was easy to cover. But I truly believe.
I don't think it was that easy.
With getting Gronk and getting Crumpler, who have tight ends that run the ball, that are there for blocking, I just think maybe they're going to go in a different direction and actually try to impose their will and just at least have that option of running. I hope they do. That's what I beg for.
Yeah, no, I see your point. I mean, I don't think that Gronkowski is a better blocker than Ben Watson. And I don't think he's a better blocker than Chris Baker.
We don't know yet, though.
My point is,
Now, listen,
you bring up an interesting point, Anthony, because Belichick is sort of alluded throughout this offseason, I shouldn't say throughout, but a couple of times in this offseason when he's spoken about some trends around the league for more power football.
I never said that.
He said it after the draft and talking about some of the trends in the league that would, you know, lend itself to some more smash mouth style. I haven't seen it in the acquisitions the Patriots have made, and I would be surprised to see them sort of transform their offense from a pass first offense to any kind of a run first offense. I thought last year, for the most part, they did a decent job of running the ball in short yardage. Now they got stopped occasionally. They had a huge one in Miami. They got stopped on a fourth and less than a yard from inside the five that turned the whole game around late in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I thought short yardage, they generally picked it up. I don't see them as being a team that's going to make its living running the football.
No, I don't either.
And I think if people are looking for a fourth quarter where they're imposing their will, you know, running the ball, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have to throw the ball to put games away, much like they have over the last several years.
I need more balance, Paul. It's frustrating.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong, Anthony. I'm not. I don't see it. I don't see the talent to do that. I don't see this offensive line doing that on a consistent. They'll do it sometimes. They'll do it. I mean, they did it against Atlanta last year, for example. They ran the ball very effectively in the second half of that game and ground the clock to nothing. That was the game that Fred Taylor had 105 yards, I believe.
Yeah, but sometimes it takes an attitude change, and that's what I liked about Gronk when he got drafted. You know what I mean? I actually have a customer of mine who's a Philly fan, and you know, he's the Eagles through and through. And I said, listen, you got to look at the footage of this guy, right, just when he got drafted. And he's like, I'm just going to follow this guy just because of the enthusiasm that he had dancing around. And sometimes that just sparks, you know, maybe he'll just change the attitudes, and we got to be more powerful. Who knows? Crumpler's that type of player. He was a beast.
Crumpler, I can just say this about Crumpler. He's a big man still, even though he dropped, you know, he shed some LBs before he got here. He can still move pretty well, though. He's as fleet-footed a big man as I've seen in this league, just from the short time we've seen him at OTAs. I mean, it'll be a big difference when the pads are on and he's asked to do other things. But
Crumpler's a guy, I think.
Crumpler's an
athlete. He's that tight end for you, Anthony. I think he's a run-first tight end, no question.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be the solution for the future, but it's a nice little pickup. That's all I'm looking at, you know? Nice little pickup. But, guys, have a good show.
All right, Anthony.
See you later.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Good stuff from Anthony, as always. Continuing this discussion about the offense and wide receivers in particular, Hyder from Ontario. Hey, Paul, Eric, Doc, since you can judge the wide receivers during the OTA, how are the new and young wide receivers looking, and which player do you think will be a surprise this season? Well, I want to say this about the young wide receivers. We, Andy and I, were very harsh towards Brian Anderson, the rookie free agent from Central Michigan, I believe. At rookie minicamp, he was not looking like he fit here in at this level. But he has since, I think, shed whatever inhibitions or nerves that he had in those first couple of practices the week after the draft. And he's looked a lot better. He's looked a lot smoother. He's run routes better, has showed better hands. I think that might have just been a case of, you know, a little too much too soon for the kid. And it's, you know, it's human nature. They're going to react that way. So he's one guy that I've made, that I've noticed some difference in since rookie minicamp. Now, whether or not he's going to be a surprise going through training camp and through the season, I think that's going to be tough just because of the numbers that they have. Just the number of more experienced bodies. But he's 6'5". He's got some of the numbers. If he does something in, you know, in those preseason games, you know, there are jobs to be won at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure there's room for him, but we haven't seen Taylor Price yet because he hasn't been out there.
Right.
You know, in terms of young receivers, I mean, Brandon Tate. I would consider in that group. We haven't seen a lot from him yet. I don't think he's looked great running around. But, again, it's really, really hard to just pick individual guys. When they go through their drills, they catch the ball for the most part, you know, and that's all you can really, really judge. I think Holt looks like a guy who's going to fit in and help. You know, we just talked about him with Anthony. I think Torrey Holt is a guy that I think can give you a lot off the field and maybe a little bit more on the field than a lot of people thought, myself included. I think he could be a, you know, a 40-catch guy. You know, depending on injuries, maybe more. You might need, you know, if Welker is sidelined or Edelman is banged up and you might need a little bit more in terms of receptions out of the slot, I think Holt can fill in.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think will have a at the end of the season, whose first season with the Patriots will have been more productive, Torrey Holt's or Dante Stallworth's in 07?
Dante Stallworth.
Okay, that's fair. I think so too. Just because he was younger.
Yeah, but that's
the whole
probably the biggest reason for
the novelty of all those new players being on that offense.
Now it's going to be one of those deals where you're going to look at it and say, what do you consider production? In other words, I think Starworth had 47 catches or something like that.
Around 50, yeah.
Holtz could very well go out and catch 60 passes, but might not be, in my mind, might not be as productive.
Right, because one of Stallworth's big things was yards after the catch.
Well, just his average per catch, you know, he stretched the field. I don't think Holt will stretch the field. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he still has enough wheels to do that, and he'll line up outside and stretch the field a little bit. I think that's where Stallworth's strength was he balanced the field for Moss.
Right.
And he, because he was so quick and still had the ability to get downfield, he didn't allow opponents to just play cover two on Moss's side. They had to legitimately play a straight half, deep middle, deep halves, rather, because Starworth was almost as capable of getting deep as Moss was.
Yeah. Yeah, he still had speed.
Absolutely.
He still had
plenty
of
Dallas
speed.
Game earlier.
Oh, yeah.
In the year. He was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Now, probably didn't catch that many passes that day.
Right. Right. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Holt will contribute, but I'm not expecting him to contribute the way Stallworth did. But I think...
Yeah, that's why I'm saying he may end up with more catches. Right. I don't think he'll have more yards.
Right.
You know, touchdowns or, to me are kind of...
Yeah, because... Right.
Circumstantial. I mean, I don't think either one of them have. I mean, I think
Wes
Stallworth
had four touchdowns. He was pretty productive player.
And I think Stallworth had four that year, too. I don't think
he
had
a
lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
But, you know, Holt had none last
right.
year. So I don't know how many he'll have either.
Paul, what did you think in the wild card game?
I don't.
Oh, okay. In the wild card game, I think it was pretty much obvious that stuffing the run was a problem for New England, as we saw right off the bat.
It's Captain Obvious.
Right. And Steve in Baltimore writing in with his concerns about the defensive line. Hey, guys, I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about the defensive line. An area of concern for me is who is going to fill in at the defensive end position. Who would you think will be the first team lines in both 4-3 and 3-4 looks? It's a good question because I think we're going to see both of those quite a bit. We're going to see 4-3s as, you know, we started seeing it a lot more last year, a lot more 4-3s and
I would just think that
to start out with,
I would just think the change is Derek Burgess. I think Derek Burgess would go down as a fourth lineman in a 4-3, and they would play just regular. You know,
even with the additions of guys like Gerard Warren,
well, I think
Lewis,
Warren's going to be one of the starters. Yeah, I think Warren, Will Fork, and Warren are going to be the three starters in a 3-4, and in a 4-3, I think you just put Burgess down. Unless Burgess is really, really, really bad this year, which who knows how bad he has to be before someone decides that he's not contributing.
So if they just put him down, that means your linebackers are going to be Banta Kane on one end,
and probably
Mayo in the middle, and who's the other end?
You could have a
another
guy.
Because if it's Guyton.
You could have Guyton, or you could have
Spikes,
Mayo.
I don't think
you could have Mayo be the guy on the strong side.
Yep.
In a 4-3 with Spikes or McKenzie in the middle, if they're that advanced, I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, I think there's a lot of different options. I am not a huge
so you're not
three,
expecting
four,
as much.
Three
you're
guy.
Not
I don't really care what they do. I think generally they play those two defenses the same, and this is what Bill usually says: is that you know the principles don't change. It's just the alignment changes.
So,
okay.
Unless they completely scrap it and go in a different direction.
But your point's interesting, though, because if they do that, if they just put Burgess with his hand on the ground...
That's what they did last year.
Yeah, but I mean, if they move from one to the other by just doing that, you're expecting less rotation than we've seen before? Like, less substitution?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I mean, I think you could see... I think Mike Wright will be certainly a part of the defensive line. You know, Damian Lewis, if he pans out, I think we'll get some playing time. You know, Myron Pryor sort of forced his way into the picture last year and got some playing time. Don't forget, sub packages change personnel up front, too.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
Even Vince Wilfork, as great as he is, doesn't generally play all three downs. So there's where you get a lot of the rotation. But I'm just talking about, let's just say it's Joe typical opening kickoff of the season. Gostkowski put it in the end zone. The other team's got the ball first and 10 from the 20. What are they doing? I'm thinking I'm going to see Warren, Wilfork, and Warren up front.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, right now. I mean, we're 3 months, well, you know, more than that.
Well, we're two months, a little over 2 months away from the first preseason game.
Yeah, so we have a lot of time to sort of assess some training camp practices, some mini camp practices.
Yeah.
See what happens when they get some pads on and guys start getting pushed around. See what happens when guys get banged up.
Right.
How that maybe affects some of the plans. But I think, given his preference, I think Bill wants to play 3-4. 2-gap. 3-4.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he surprised us last year coming out in that first preseason game with 4 down linemen. He played a lot of it during the preseason. Not so much during the regular season.
And we saw it periodically.
We saw it, but not as much as we did in the preseason.
I think a lot of us thought it was going to become their staple, and it didn't.
Right. All right, moving on. James from Brisbane. That's Brisbane,
You're
Paul.
Dying to say that properly, because
right.
Fred always...
He's always butchers it. Right. And, of course, Andy gets credit, once again, for something that I do from James in Brisbane.
You really have issues.
I do. I know. Hey, guys, thanks, Andy, for trying to correct Fred. It's pronounced Brisbane. How Andy says it, but close enough what Fred says. It's not Andy, by the way. Anyway, I've just seen the new Patriots Today host, and my first thought is, thank you. A couple of quick questions about her, though. Fred?
We'll be joined by her pretty soon. She's coming in to visit.
In a few minutes. For Fred, he wants to ask if she's a Star Wars fan. Paul, what's her favorite food? Andy, how sensitive is she to your unique sense of humor?
Unique in quotes, I assume.
Well, yeah. And Eric, is she single and have you made a move on her yet? We'll find out in a few minutes.
Yes and no.
Really enjoying the OTA coverage. Thanks for the effort. All the best, James, in Brisbane.
All right.
And that's Eric saying it, James. In Brisbane.
Have I made my point? You really do have a problem with proper credit.
Brooklyn Matt. I know how Eric...
There's no I in team.
No, but there's an I in Perillo, as Andy likes to say.
Right in the middle, Perillo. As Paul likes to say.
Brooklyn
Certainly
Matt.
Certainly an I in Eric.
Yes, there is. Brooklyn Matt.
Somehow there's a K in there, too. I don't get it, but...
See, this is why fans get mad at you, Paul, when you step over other people's lines. You're supposed to one person talk at a time. Didn't you listen to those people earlier in the...
Are you not aware that I don't really take anything into consideration for
I know,
the fans?
You hate the fans.
I don't hate them.
Stop.
You hate
stop,
it.
I pity the fool.
Are you going to go see the new A-Team movie, by the way?
No.
Why?
I didn't watch the A-Team show.
Oh, you're pathetic. You didn't watch the A-Team? That was right in our wheelhouse when we were growing up.
Now you're aligning yourself with my age. Usually you distance yourself from my age.
Well, because when we talk about such things on the show, we get an Andy Hart like, I never heard of it. No, never heard of the A-Team.
That is true. But I do think in this case, the slight difference in our ages plays in here. I think that was probably at your edge of being interested in that, and I was a little beyond
too
it.
Old.
Now, yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Someone will write in with the years that the show was on TV, and maybe I just wasn't interested in it.
Hmm. All right.
But well, no, I never actually watched the A-Team. I know very little about it.
That's too bad.
What are you looking at with that stupid, dumbfounded look that
I
you
always
have?
I just wasn't listening. I missed half the conversation, so I was just trying
why
to
are you giving
get,
me that
get caught
look?
I wasn't looking at you. You're so jumpy.
You're looking
today.
Right at me.
It's actually looking at Teddy behind
it
you.
It was as if I said... I never saw the A-Team, and it was, you know, like saying, I don't know.
It really is kind of despicable.
I never saw a Patriots game.
The A-Team.
I'm part of the A-Team. That's
good
obvious.
Stuff.
But the other part of the A-Team's not here.
Not anymore. Not anymore, my friend. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Brooklyn Matt, we'll get to your email later. But
Brooklyn Matt.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to the new host of Patriots Today right after this.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at patriots.com.
Back on PFW in progress on this Tuesday, June 8th. It's no longer just the two of us, Paul.
No.
There's a third member of the cast today, Lindsay Petruni.
With two Ys.
Lindsay with two Ys. Is new hostess of Patriots Today, Lindsay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This next half hour, which is going to be the most miserable of your life.
Well, it's not going to be the most miserable because we'll have her back when Andy is here, and that will be the most miserable.
We have to sort of, you know, slowly introduce her to the rest of the crew. You're lucky that Fred and Andy aren't here today.
Yeah, you guys are going to maybe take it easy on me, right?
Well, we're not going to take it easy.
No, we didn't
but
say
I don't
that.
Think we'll be as uncomfortable
we didn't
as,
say that.
As we would be if Andy and Fred were here.
Lindsay, you just joined us, what, about a week ago?
Yeah, last Tuesday was my first day.
Right, so you were the second day on the job, OTAs, you were
yeah,
out
should
there.
Should we make this like a player
team?
Interview? So, you know, how's it going so far? Is
right.
it good to be back out there? And
It's going well, yeah. Kind of dove right in. OTAs last week, and it's been going well.
So tell us a little bit about your background, where you studied, where you came from. Do you know anything about the Patriots as far as, you know, the history of the team? Did you grow up here? Give us the rundown.
I'm a little nervous to tell you the area that I come from. I don't know if I want to put that out there yet.
I think I heard.
Yeah,
I am actually from Pittsburgh.
I thought
oh, yeah.
I told
you.
Yeah, I might have some haters.
So you were a Steeler fan growing up?
I am an NFL fan. So
oh, safe answer. Safe answer. Wow.
Using the Rogaine.
Check.
So I went to Kent State. And I actually watched Julian
Edelman. So you
Edelman
know Julian Edelman
play.
Then, probably,
I didn't
right?
I did not know him at Kent State, but I did get to watch him play. And so
Where did you watch him play at Kent State? What was the name of the stadium?
Dick Stadium.
There you go, Doc.
Wow.
And this is what we do.
Mark, tape, Doc.
So,
we actually got Julian Edelman to talk about Dick Stadium.
Dick
last
Stadium.
Year.
Yeah.
It's D-I-X.
As old as, just
curious.
So you know, Lindsay, with two eyes, as old as Paul looks, he has about the mentality of a 13-year-old.
Yeah,
he has
true.
That maturity level. And Andy is probably even younger than that, probably about 11.
But Andy at least is a lot younger than me.
He is. That's true. And Fred is looks 60.
The most immature of
the most immature of all of us.
I love dicks as well.
See? That's Julian.
That's
Adam.
Julian. Yeah. Right. So you graduated from Kent State.
I did.
And what did you do between then and coming here?
I interned out at Fox Sports in Los Angeles, and after that I did a Steelers show for the CBS affiliate in Pittsburgh, KDKA. Mm-hmm. I was the on-scene reporter, so I went out to some of the bars and restaurants and got to hang out with some drunk Steeler fans and hear what they had to say, some of their predictions about the game. It took place on Friday night, aired Saturday, and then, so I got some of their predictions, what they thought would happen in the game Sunday. And I also worked at Penn State, did some reporting for the Big Ten Network.
Oh, yeah?
At Penn State. So that was.
And they play where?
Beaver Stadium. So, hey,
Digger
Stadium, Beaver Stadium.
You know what?
Perfect.
Good, Eric. That was very good. I didn't even know where you were going with that one.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
I was like, was it Boob Stadium or something? I had no idea.
That's where you played in high school, right?
All right. That's enough. That's uncalled for.
What, Everett? No? Didn't they have a name for
their
stadium?
You ever watched the Big Ten Network at
all? I've seen the Big Ten Network a few times.
It's pretty good.
It is.
They have a lot of stuff on there.
It's a misnomer, though, because they're not the Big Ten anymore, and they're thinking of adding
expansion.
What, like four or five teams
could
from the
being
East
like
Coast?
The Big 14.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not into these super conferences. I'm a little old school. I like the old Big East basketball conference. I like the Big Ten when it was just 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Big 12 when it was 12 teams. It just, I don't know.
You want the NFL to go back to a 14-game season?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I was just
talking about. We're talking about college football, Paul. You want to try to stick to the subject, please?
Well, I mean, what's so bad about expansion and progress?
It's not progress. They want Rutgers to be in the Big Ten. Rutgers has no place being in a Midwest conference.
Okay.
Penn State, okay.
You're getting pretty emotional over
Cincinnati's
there.
Cincinnati's in the Big East.
That's
what
we do. We get emotional over the most ridiculous, meaningless, stupid things.
They should put them in the Big Ten.
They should be. You're right. That's exactly right.
Ohio State would be upset because they own the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Ohio State University. Did you have to call it that when you were on the Big Ten Network?
I never actually had to really reference Ohio State, but I don't think I would have called it the Ohio State University.
Yeah, just Ohio State.
Yeah.
OSU.
Very, very pompous.
It is.
Some members of the media who
right
attended that school like to call it that as well, the Ohio State University.
So what have you been your first impressions of Gillette Stadium and the TV? Because we talked to Matt. We call him No Socks because he doesn't wear socks.
If you notice, he doesn't wear socks when he gets dressed
that.
Up.
Yeah,
really?
You'll notice.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
It's a weird look. But
it's funny. The only time he wears socks
is when he wears sneakers
right.
and shorts during camp. But
he
if he wears dress pants, a suit, no socks.
No socks.
Yeah. So it's Matty
No
Socks.
The whole operation is, what do you think of, because you have some, unlike most of us, you have legit experience with Fox in L.A. and the
Big Ten Network.
So you have something to compare it to.
Big-time college
teams. We do this on our lunch break.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. I have said before, I have a lot of respect for this organization, even though I'm from Pittsburgh.
Here comes the safe answers again.
No, this is not a safe answer. This is not a safe answer. I think the professionalism here, the way that everything is conducted, I think it's outstanding. I'm very impressed with everything
Clearly
so far.
Clearly her first
honestly.
Time on this show.
Right, the
no,
professionalism
I really am.
Up
I'm
until
I'm
today.
Being honest. Honesty is the best policy. These are my feelings. This is how I feel so far. So
okay.
I'm impressed. It's very exciting. It's exciting to, go to OTAs to, talk with some of the players, and I'm really looking forward to it.
You haven't yet
experienced
a Bill Belichick press conference.
I have not.
Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I am looking forward to it.
But that actually is pretty professional.
What do you want me to tell you?
You have to admit. Belichick's press conferences generally, he's pretty professional. He's consistently
I'm not really
telling you nothing.
The world's problems. Mm-hmm.
But that'll continue the professionalism. I think the locker room during the course of the season might be a little different.
Well, but is she going to be able to?
Oh, yeah, you won't go in the locker room.
There's that weird rule where
female
employees of the organization aren't allowed to go in there.
So
Christina never had a chance to do that.
You'll continue to think it's very professional because you won't have to experience
exactly.
a Friday afternoon filled with tomfoolery.
Oh, God. So you were a broadcast major? At Kent State.
Did the sideline reporting and for all the basketball games,
mm-hmm.
And did some anchoring and producing a weekly sports show, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Our student run TV station at Kent State is pretty great, actually. We have some state-of-the-art equipment just put in there, and it was good.
Okay.
It was really good.
Now, the question that's on a lot of our emailers' minds, attachments, anything?
Attachments.
Yeah, are you coming here free agent-wise? The listeners want to know. The listeners
I don't know. Can I keep them hanging? I think Eric wants to know.
I
suppose you could.
I mean, I don't know. I've only been here. Can they give me a break?
No, they can't.
I've only been here for a few days.
No, they can't. You said
you had thick skin.
Yeah.
I do have thick skin.
What are you trying to hide?
I don't know. I like to be kind of mysterious. That's probably just going to make people mad.
Lindsay, you and I, exactly. You and I are going to get along great because I did the same approach when I came on this show.
Eric's big on, no, I'm not going
to
talk about
it. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to keep a little mystery going, and people hate me.
I mean, can I at least keep the mystery going for like two weeks?
No,
I mean,
I'm not doing it with you.
I've officially been working for 1 week. I can't put it all out there.
All right, so what's the deadline?
I like this already,
Paul. So what's the deadline?
How
long do you have to be here before you have no more shroud of secrecy? We'll have you back on.
Maybe beginning of July.
Beginning of July? So we're going to be more weeks? 3 weeks?
Okay. Let's call it the 4th of July. We'll have you back on for a special special Lindsay with 2Y show.
Yeah, you know? I want to be a little bit shady right now.
I took the same approach, and it didn't work for me.
Uh-oh.
No, people hated me from the get-go because I would always say, no, I don't want to talk about it. Now this, now that. I would say stuff like that. But
they hated him because he's pompous.
I'm not like the Ohio State.
Right. He probably should have gone there.
Yeah. No.
The only thing is we went to the same college. So
yeah, that was very unfortunate.
He can only be so pompous.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to some emails, shall we?
Can I find out with Petruni?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Petruni.
Now we're two guineas, so.
Right? Scalavino,
but
Perillo,
yeah. not
See,
Italian.
See, here's the thing: most
Petruni, not
no,
Italian.
Most people think it ends in an I, so most people think I am Italian. I had a soccer coach in high school.
So is it three Ys?
Three Ys? Like,
it's three Ys. Yeah, one of my soccer coaches actually was back in before high school because I played tennis in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, oh, good Italian. Actually, when I interviewed,
that's what I would have been doing.
Sure, you should just nod your head, say, yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
When I went to interview for Penn State spring game, I interviewed Jay Paterno, and as soon as I said my name, he's like, oh, good Italian. Everyone thinks that, but it actually ends in a Y. The last name is Slovak, and I'm also Lebanese. My mom's Lebanese, so Slovak and Lebanese.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Christina was Lebanese.
I think she was.
She
wasn't
was.
She?
And both of our father's names are Joe. This is what people are telling me. So we have a couple things in common.
Wait, her dad's nickname was Bubba, she always used to say. But you're right, his real name was Joe.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you're starting to creep me out a little bit.
She told me.
How does that just come up?
Because we were talking about Florida football and how her dad used to take her.
That's the normal thing. Florida football, Steve Spurrier, and my dad's nickname is Bubba.
Oh.
We can't really talk too much Kent State football with you because other than Julian Edelman, we
James
don't know
Cribbs.
A whole lot.
He's a little weird.
Josh Cribbs, that's true.
Yeah, James Harrison, come on. I mean,
Antonio Gates,
yeah. We got some current
Kent State. We used to talk current Florida football with her.
Current, yeah. That's kind of rough. I don't know about that.
Dean Pease.
Yeah, our boy.
Yeah,
now in Baltimore.
He just peaced out not too long ago.
Yeah. Peaced out, yeah. Good. I like what you did there.
Very well done.
Very well done.
Doc, give her a star.
Yeah, she got the rim shot. That's as good as getting a star.
Now, what you graduated from Kent State? What? 06? 08.
08.
So he was already long since here.
Well,
right?
Sure.
04?
Well, no, he actually 2003. 2003 was his last year. So actually, my first year at Kent was his first.
Was
year
his first
here.
Year here? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So.
So just missed him, but.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Mm-hmm. We liked Dean.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're going to hang with us for the rest of the show?
Yeah,
is
sure.
that cool?
Why don't we take some emails? What else?
Yeah, we're
going to
get some emails. All right.
I can't believe you didn't ask her about working with B-Lo.
You know
well,
what? I would be remiss,
Doc. We've got some emails about that.
Good job, buddy.
We'll lead into that.
Me a question. What were you going to ask me?
Oh, you know what? I'm 42.
He's old. His memory is
long gone.
Memory
it comes
shot.
And goes.
That was long gone. That was 10 minutes ago.
So you've already made your debut on the site.
I did.
You're out there.
Friday was day one, and it was over the weekend, so I'm like, oh, man.
Okay. And you've done what? Now, what exactly have you done? Because I haven't seen the show. I'm sorry. You've hosted a full show? Have you done a package or whatever?
Well, Friday we kind of just put up a little intro introducing me to the show just so that, you know, people logging on aren't like, who the heck is this girl? You know, where did she come from? So that was kind of just the intro.
The role of Christina Acura will be played by...
yeah. So, and then I also did, you know, some OTA stuff yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just kind of filled people in on what was initially going on after, you know, taking attendance, seeing who was there, who wasn't there, mostly seeing if Welker was around, how long he was going to stay, and also did some stuff for Locker Room Uncut yesterday.
Okay.
We had some of the defensive players hear some of their thoughts, and Brian Lowe and I did a debrief yesterday that actually just
on air debrief
was put up today.
On air?
So you on air, yes.
Now, does he creep you out as much as he used to creep other
no.
people?
No.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Absolutely not.
Oh, God.
We love B-Love.
We do. He's my he was my roommate on the road for a few years. Now I have to room with the obnoxiously big-headed goof
Hart.
Who's not here.
Well, I do have a kind of a funny story, though, and I knew
this
was going to happen.
Well, yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that before the end of the show, folks.
Right, she wants to be mysterious right now.
Yeah. Okay, I knew this was going to happen because we get to work at basically the same time every day, and we've pulled up in the parking lot together. So anyway,
Paul gets here about 10 every day, so that's not different.
9:30.
9:55.
I have a very, very long commute.
I'm sure. So,
love the sarcasm.
Sharon, yeah, you're
Your
from
skin's
Sharon.
Not that
you're
thick.
From Sharon, right? I don't even know the area, and I'm already.
Yeah, I would tell you where I'm from, but you're
he
from
wants to be mysterious.
So. No, but you said you had a long commute, so I'm like, oh, you're from Sharon, right?
Yeah, no. I'm for those
kidding.
Of you,
that was sarcasm, Paul.
Yeah,
I got it. For those of you that don't know, Sharon is right next to Foxborough. Go ahead.
So anyway, your story.
Oh, so my story is that I was just driving. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention the other day, and just had songs on my iPod, whatever, doing stuff. And finally, I realized I'm like, I really need to be in the left lane. I need to turn to get into Patriot Place in the stadium. So I just totally revved it and cut over. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be able to.
That's what
know.
Massachusetts so, drivers so, do around here.
Fit in quickly.
Exactly, yeah. I'm trying to be more aggressive on the road. Exactly. So then, you know, so there was a car behind me, whatever. So, you know, there's two lanes as you're going, you know, into the stadium.
Yep.
So the car behind me ends up pulling next to me, and B-Lo throws up like a peace sign. And I'm like, wow, I totally just cut him off. Like,
well,
I hardcore cut him off. But
it was a peace sign, but it was only one finger that he was using.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now, most people in that situation, Eric, I think the courteous thing to do would be, oh, I need to get over. There's a car already there. I'm going to slow down, fall back, get in line.
There wasn't time.
Where are you
there was
from?
No time for this.
And then take the exit.
There was no
but
time
no.
for this.
You're about to get to work.
But no, two Y's just says, I'm going to
floor
wise,
it. Paul.
Three Y's, Paul. Three Y's.
LYNDSAY, Patroon Y.
Did you see that look?
Yeah.
20 minutes, my new record. It's my new world record.
Because
the fans look at me like that.
Well, the thing is, that's not what you would have done. So
this is my
mean,
girl, by the way.
Oh yeah, Paul. Paul has an obsession with Megyn Kelly of Fox News. So every afternoon when her show comes on, Paul has to interrupt whoever's talking and say,
"Hey, girl, it's my girl."
Hey, girl.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know what.
Three Wise isn't impressed with
she
your.
She will be mine.
With your
oh
line.
Yes, she will.
I'm
be mine.
I'm sure if you go up to her and say,
"Hey, girl,"
I'm sure she's just gonna fall deeply in love with you.
And at the same time, my wife will laugh hysterically.
But see, that's the thing. You would not have done what you're saying. Oh, I'm gonna fall back and wait and.
I'd have to say. I need more information.
These are lies. These are all fables.
If I knew it was B-Lo,
they're fables. You're telling.
If I knew
fables.
It was B-Lo next to me, I wouldn't.
Yeah. All
true. Right. So you've
everybody
been on,
listening knows you're lying, Paul.
So, so you've had a chance to get introduced to the Patriots Today audience. Mm-hmm. People kind of know who you are now.
Oh, okay.
Through this show as well as yours on the air. So you're already getting some critique emails
Ooh,
from our
good.
Listeners.
Ooh, that's good.
Excited.
Okay, you want to hear
Stop
you
hear
it up
I do.
With Brian
I can
Lowe.
Actually
okay.
critique myself, too.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see if you agree with what
this
emailer has to say. By the way, our show is heard on the Internet, so it's worldwide. We have listeners. There's a map behind you.
You know, like their show, too. You know,
yeah, but.
She's pretty familiar with the Internet.
More
know?
People listen
hey,
to us
hey,
than,
Al Gore.
Than watch them.
I think she's pretty much
Maybe
aware
they'll watch
the
more
Internet
now
works.
That she's hosting, but right now they listen to us more.
That,
so there's
you
a
know
map.
What? Fair point by
okay.
you. That's two.
All right.
That's two.
That map behind us has pins from all over the world where people who have listened have emailed or called into
Until
the show.
We ran out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
so it's mm-hmm. it's a pretty pretty big audience we've got. This is Philip from Sweden.
Hey, Philip.
Who's already seen you on the air and
oh,
says,
great.
Hello, guys, and Lindsay. I just watched B-Lo with the new girl on Patriots Today. And it had me a little bit worried.
Uh-oh.
The Sith Lord that he is, Brian has clearly brainwashed her already. If she keeps nodding like that whenever he opens his mouth.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That was the number one thing.
You'll have to start looking for a replacement when she breaks her neck in about 2 weeks.
Yep. That was, you know what, and that's the thing. Friday, yeah, total bobblehead. I was just really excited to be here. So that will stop. You can let I'm letting the viewers know whoever's listening.
Okay, you're working
right now.
On that.
I was just
not right all that
I
often.
Was just
there's no need to agree with
overly excited. You know,
just go
like,
straight
I was
to his
like,
head when you agree with him.
I was really
him.
Excited to be here. So that will end. But I was a major bobblehead in the initial piece.
Mm-hmm.
Saving that one too. You know you are. That's why you give me that sarcastic smile.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
This is a completely safe environment.
Yeah,
nothing
I have to reiterate,
Lindsay,
that Bilo's not right all that often. There'll be no need to continuously bob your head,
not the brightest guy in the world.
Because he's really not that smart.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
See? What else you got?
Hold on. I'm checking. I'm trying to get some specific Lindsay-related questions here. We got a lot of emails on this show, too, and that's one of the catchphrases on our show. A lot of emails.
A lot of emails.
Because Fred doesn't know. Fred usually hosts, and he doesn't typically read a lot of them because
he,
like Andy, like to hear themselves talk, and so they talk for much of the show, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, isn't it, Paul? As I stall
I
for
know.
Time.
Are you still talking?
I'm trying to...
I was watching Tony Romo withdraw from the U.S. Open sectionals.
Okay. Should I read Brooklyn Matt's, Doc? Or is that...
Why do you have to ask him what you should read?
Well, that's a good point. Why should I? Okay.
He's probably...
All right, Brooklyn Matt is one of
a dip.
Another faithful listener.
Is this a really rowdy comment? Is that why you're double checking?
No, it's just you wanted to remain mysterious, so we don't know yet if any of this is pertinent or not.
Okay,
but
okay.
Brooklyn Matt says, I know how Eric can get in tight with the new girl who just entered the fray of the Gillette micro society before Andy Hart ruins his rep behind his back. Eric, we could have a little Cyrano de Bergerac thing going on. That's a comment. That's a backhanded comment at my large nose. I realize that.
I'm not taking offense.
No, it's,
I think it was kind
really
of
right wasn't.
Out there for you.
That's okay. Outside, I could hide in the bush. This is Brooklyn Matt. Outside, I could hide in the bushes and feed you lines before you revert back to your stammering. That's right. Before the two of us, we'd have the conversation with her flowing like a fine Cabernet Sauvignon. And as for the indoor encounters with her, well, I could go mobile and a little up. What is he talking about here?
He's talking about disguising himself in a plant and
in an uprooted shrub. Oh, I see what he's saying. Okay, I could go mobile in a little uprooted shrub like they do in the little cartoons where the guy hides behind the tree. I'd have to trail behind you, zigzagging up and down the hallways just in case you ran into her. As for the pathetic listeners who thought they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell with Christina, speak for yourselves. Oh, and
ooh.
Hi, Paul. A very overconfident Brooklyn
ooh.
Matt.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those commercials for, what is it, Dos Equis? The most interesting man in the world commercials. We find those kind of funny. I don't know if you do.
That was a very elaborate email.
Oh, you haven't seen anything yet.
That's kind of what we do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they come
from.
He
has it down to a science, like the plant. And
yeah, a lot of our listeners live alone by themselves, have a lot of time.
Mom's basement might be involved.
You get the idea, right? So, you know.
But we love them all.
We do. We do love them all.
In Andy's case, he just doesn't associate with any of them.
No. Andy Hart likes to call himself man of the people, but whenever we're out in public,
he
runs and hides from people and fans who want to come up and talk to
even
us.
Even in London. He
hid
behind the velvet ropes in the VIP area.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Paul, you were the bon vivant in London. You were all over the place that night.
I know exactly what that means, but I was certainly mingling with the people.
Yes, you were. We had our
you
game in London last year
Spanish.
Against
English,
the
please.
Tampa Bay, so we spent not quite a week. It was like 4 days, I guess. In London, it was a good time. I was a little disappointed that it was only 4 days.
Yeah,
wanted to get
short.
A longer trip out of it because you know
he also wanted to be on the BBC, and that didn't happen either.
Yeah, Andy's big head got on there instead of me, which was again unfortunate. But what are you gonna do? Okay.
Unbelievable scabs to get picked at. I had no idea these things bothered you so much. You heard me. Next.
What's that now? Let's see. I'm trying to find some more Patriots Today related. Emails. We get so many emails on this show.
Hold I'm sensing a pick in this in this Green Bay Seattle game. I'm sensing a pick six.
Yeah, another one about the nodding, Lindsay.
Yeah, too much.
Another
nodding.
One. This is,
now, did you get? You just watch that and sort of critique yourself.
That was your
self critique. Say something.
No, I did. I know. I mean, it's very obvious. You know, it's not like oh, it's like you're watching it and you're like wow, her neck's gonna break.
So but. But have you noticed this problem before?
A little bit. When I was, you know, maybe first starting out, but
I think
I was really excited.
Anxious.
I think I was just really excited, and you know, we were kind of out by the field and wanted to move it along and, you know, didn't want to obviously interrupt the players and...
I think a lot of people do that.
Or anything, and we just wanted to, you know, go out, do it quickly, and come back, and, and you know, then obviously when I watched it, I'm like,
It was actually her way of trying to get Bilo to shut up and wrap it up.
But no, I appreciate the constructive criticism.
Hey, if that's is that all they have for constructive criticism?
I don't know. I'd love to hear more. But
I think you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Not to be serious for a second, but.
No, yeah. When did you get all serious?
I don't know.
I'm like really critiquing.
We have 4 minutes left. Still waiting for that pick six in the Green Bay Seattle game.
Yeah, we have a tendency to do this too. We have NFL Network running on, and they show old games that most of us have seen, especially Paul, because he's, you know, seen most every game in the NFL over the last 75 years. Right. And we start commenting on games that have already happened.
Yeah, it's so like the person that DVRs Jeopardy and then doesn't tell their family that they DVR it or TiVo it.
I never thought of that.
Or TiVo it, and then you know all the answers,
right.
You know? And then it's like, wow, you're so intelligent.
Right. Paul likes to think.
He likes to make himself feel good. Like, he thinks he knows exactly what's going to happen, but, I mean, the game already happened.
I know nothing about anything but sports, so I don't have any false pretenses.
That is the most true thing he's ever said.
Eric, on the other hand...
I know quite a bit about it.
He fancies himself as an intellect. I like to call him a pseudo-intellect.
And my response is always...
There's nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
Right. okay, hold on. Got another one here.
Print that out for me, Doc.
Yeah, we got a 3Y email that's coming in, but this requires printing out. And Doc's going to get that for me. They sent a link, and, you know...
Okay,
here we go.
What's that?
That's a picture. Is this the picture you submitted for Patriots Today?
That's my Facebook picture.
Facebook. Actually. All right. So you've already got a stalker on Facebook.
I've got a few friend requests
since you came here.
For this?
Since
you
got
maybe
on
like 15 or so.
See, that's the stuff that we have no idea how creepy it is.
Well, we get a lot of those.
Yeah, I don't have people, you know, sending me pictures of myself, and I get a lot. I mean, friend requests is one thing, but I would. That's tough to deal with.
Well,
I think.
Until Eric tells you who sent the email.
Yeah, we have a listener who
strippers.
Goes by. Yeah, it's strippers. that's not
nice.
His name, but that's the line of work that he is in.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Sort of like a talent scout, I guess we could call him.
Good, Eric.
Right.
Good.
So I don't know if by sending this
I
link,
told I think you maybe pick six was coming.
Yeah. See, right. Paul's seen this game before.
Congratulations, Paul.
Yeah, so strippers...
right again.
Strippers' contribution is usually this kind of thing. He'll send us...
so he's just actively seeking new talent.
Yeah, I think he's sort of subliminally recruiting.
Maybe.
Or trying to.
Maybe that's
anyway.
What it is.
But
no, he's actually a very, very good friend of the show.
Yeah, he does.
In all seriousness.
Yeah, but his email comes up in the from box. It says strippers on it. That's how he writes to it. But yeah, he is a good guy. He writes in all the time, buys us lunch. Oh, that's the other thing she doesn't know about. We've had people buy us lunch pretty much every show since...
Probably for a better part of
06?
two years, 3 years.
Yeah, we were covered for the entire season dating back to
like
training
07,
camp
right?
to... Well, this past season, we went every show from training camp to 2 weeks before the draft.
Yeah. People love us, so...
We have the best listeners. And also,
so mainly
that's
every day, you
because,
guys
Yeah, because we're here usually noon to 2.
Mm-hmm. And during the season, we do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but on Wednesdays, the organization provides pizza because that's a big media day.
Right. And on the other days, we have to kind of go begging.
So that's why I heard you whining the other day when no one bought you lunch.
Yeah,
that's
same
right.
Today.
You were actually listening to the show?
No.
The other day?
Or
just whining when
there.
We were walking out there? Oh.
I told Bilo so he
whining.
Didn't make his little pit
we
stop
whine.
Down
yeah.
here to
yeah,
look for extra food. Yeah, we do whine a lot. There's no question about it.
But what was it? So what was the subject? I don't understand. The Facebook picture.
I think he was trying to subliminally recruit you.
No, the question's in the subject line.
Oh, it is?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Keep making fun of Fred.
My bad. Who's the clown she cropped out on her Facebook
Ooh,
pic?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? Yeah.
Is that part of the mystery?
Who?
It could
who?
Be. It could be.
I don't know.
Is it a famous clown?
It is not a famous clown, no.
You had to think about that for a second, though.
I did.
Because you're trying to, you're trying to remember who was in the picture.
Pause before I answer every question.
Or did you?
It's a picture.
Are you trying to ascertain whether or not he was famous or not?
Ooh, maybe it's he's famous depending on
where you're from.
Where you're from? Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a he?
It is a he.
It's unclear from this picture.
Roethlisberger.
Oh, don't even tell me.
That's not cool.
No, that's not cool at all, Doc.
Just a sexual predator.
Just that.
That's yeah.
That's true. That's recent events, probably not. I withdraw the comment. I apologize.
So Lindsay with three Ys.
I apologize 1,000 times to
Lindsay with three Ys.
LYNDSAY.
Yeah, it's an AY too. People get that confused too.
Oh, they usually go with the EY?
I don't know. I've seen my... It's been butchered. Like, you should see... You know when you go to Panera Bread or
well, it
whatever...
It sounds like you butchered it already by throwing all the Ys where they shouldn't be and the A's and over
me,
here.
Me? I mean, I don't...
I'm not sure how much she had to do with
last
that.
Last time I checked,
Hey,
yeah.
Eric, how do you spell your name?
Properly.
Eric is with a K.
With a K.
But you know how when
see,
you're...
See, that dramatic
yeah,
pause
that dramatic
again
was like, yeah.
Says it all.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know...
The whatever was implied.
No, okay, when you're at Panera Bread and they're like, what's your name? It's first of all, why do you need to know my name? Like, you're giving me a buzzer. Just
how about just
when,
a number?
When it buzzes, you know.
Or
I'll,
the buzzer,
I'll,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'll grab my food. Really, you don't need to know my name, but that's beside the point.
And the bread's going to rip the roof of my mouth apart anyway, so I don't really see what you need my first name for.
Yeah.
But they butcher it every time.
Not everybody thinks that way about Panera Bread?
No,
you're right.
They butcher it.
You go there a lot? You sound like this is a you're getting passionate about this issue.
Yeah, I've been stopping on my way home from work because I kind of cut through and I pass
and cut people off.
I pass one, yeah,
on the way to Panera.
Yeah, watch out.
Is this where we continue to probe? Now, when you cut through on your way home, whereabouts might that be? Are we beyond 2 o'clock? What are you doing?
Well, we're making up
he's
for all
making
the
up for Fred.
We're making up for all the time. Fred likes to end the show like 3 to 4 minutes early every day. And
sometimes
we always say,
seven.
Fred, what the hell are you doing?
Look at the next game of the week, Eric.
Patriots Dolphins. We've seen this game.
Is it the one from 94?
Who knows?
I might not
want to leave, huh?
I might not have any use the rest of the day.
Oh,
it's one
God.
Of my favorite games. Right
different
up until
half.
The end.
Well, Three Ys, that's going to be your nickname, I
you
guess. No.
Three Ys, okay.
Three Ys, is that cool?
That sounds like a shot. Three Wise Men.
Why is that a shot? Then that would be saying that you're wise.
I don't know, because that's the first thing that I thought of when you said
three wise. Three wise guys. Three wise men.
Yeah.
Three wise.
Yeah, I guess I could
do that.
Is that
cool?
That. Yeah. Usually it's like LP.
LP?
Oh, that's so cliche.
Yeah, but in high school it was Patroon. Patroon was like, no, everyone's like Lindsay who? It was just Patroon.
How about Cutie Patroony?
I don't like that.
No?
Mm-mm. That's too, it's,
Eric?
No.
You
have we reached
the
Fred moment
right in
I
front of me? It's making me uncomfortable.
I don't know. It's kind
of
gay.
All right, we'll go with three Ys then.
Three Ys is good.
Ooh, it's not the game I thought it was.
No, it's not.
I
so
no
you
long,
don't know this
I no
one?
Longer
you
have
not
any...
know this one? You have no interest in
no,
this?
No, I do. I no longer have interest
oh,
in
okay.
it.
Okay. All right, so thanks for joining us, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Was that okay, that half hour?
Yeah, it was good.
So you'll come back again and endure more?
I will. I had a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fred won't take those, I choose to keep some things private. That won't be acceptable.
Yeah, I tried that with him for a long time.
I'm just
going to
let you know now.
I need to prepare myself then.
Yeah.
Maybe make some life changes.
Have a story.
Life changes?
Yeah, maybe I'll.
Additions or subtractions?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll have to see what happens.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
I have to keep it interesting.
You heard it right there from Lindsay Petrone, Patriots Today hostess.
Three Ys.
That's right. Three Ys. And we're two wise guys saying peace out till Thursday.
This is very
one to three.
Stop.
1 to 3 on Thursday. Different time because of OTAs, as we mentioned earlier. So
one to three.
Don't send emails at 12 o'clock saying where's the show.
Fred will be
one
back.
1 to 3.
Andy will be back.
June 10th.
Luckily,
this Thursday.
Eric won't have to host.
We'll see you noon. No, we'll see you 1 o'clock. Fred-like ending.
As
Fred-like
said,
ending.
Fred will
see
be
you
back.
1 o'clock Thursday.